Many recent films have illuminated the plight of those who have lived through the violence in Juarez, Mexico in the last decade, but a new film focuses on a perspective largely ignored, the plight of the mentally ill. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. Mark Aitken is a documentary filmmaker whose recent film, Dead When I Got Here, is both a powerful expose of the plight of the mentally ill in Juarez, as well as a delicately rendered profile of one man's slow but steady journey to reclaim life and family. Mark Aitken has traveled to the area to present his film in Las Cruces, and I'm happy to have him in the studio today. Good morning.
Good morning, Charles. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you, particularly since you traveled from London to be here. So I know you're a bit jet-lagged, but I do appreciate you coming in and talking with us. Let's set up the film for listeners. This is a documentary about people literally on the edge of Juarez, both the society and the desert there.
It is on the fringe of Juarez on the one hand. On the other hand, you could say it's a kind of beating heart because these are the people who have escaped the madness, the carnage going on in the city, and created their own community.
It's fascinating. It's a refuge, I guess, in the desert on the outskirts of Juarez for the mentally ill, but run mostly by people who are, I guess you would say, non-professionals. And in the case of the profile of the main character, Josue, a former patient.
It's run on empathy.
Yeah.
Really. Empathy and to put it straight, love and compassion. That's once you get over the shock, and it is quite shocking and often disturbing, the noise just and the way the behavior of people. If you can stick around long enough to get through that, then you start seeing this warmth that comes through.
You're a British filmmaker. You're based in London, I gather, and here we are in Juarez making a film, a documentary. How did you find the subject?
Well, my previous film was about a rural white community in South Africa and how they deal with their fears. In that film, there's a whole spectrum of fears, from being completely trapped in it to transcending them. And I was reading about Mexico and the borderlands, and really wondered just how normal people, quote, lived in such a place where people are even scared to sign up to join the police force. Everything seemed upside down. And then I came across Charles Bowden's book, Murder City. And in that book, there's a character who threads through it called Miss Sinaloa, who is in the mental asylum. And then I got in touch with Molly Malloy, Chuck's partner. And, yeah, through the wonders of the internet, contacted the asylum, and they said, come on down. So I did, on my own. And I spent 10 days there, and it was the most exhilarating 10 days of my life.
Charles Bowden is known to many in the region as an amazing writer, investigative journalist, if you will. He's exposed a lot of the underbelly of the violence and roots of the violence that went on in Juarez and is still going on to a certain degree, and the trauma that came out of that and the human condition, I think, is what he's most known for spotlighting. And as you worked together on this film, I gather he never saw the final film?
No, he saw a lot of pieces of it.
He passed away.
August 30th.
Before it was done.
2014. And I'll never forget the day, because we were actually just completing the final soundtrack mix. And on that day in particular, we were mixing a sequence that goes towards the end of the film, where there's a big desert sandstorm, and one of the patients from the asylum is standing in the storm, oblivious to all the crust erupting around him. And we were mixing some wind chimes into the soundtrack that actually come from Chuck and Molly's garden. And so it was, a very moving time for us.
It's a powerful moment in the film, too. And so many of the images, while you're exposing, I think, for viewers, even those of us familiar with the border, a part of the border story that has really been invisible to us, frankly, this asylum on the edge of Juarez, at least the context and the textures of Juarez and the colors and the views of how people live there are not completely unfamiliar with most of us who live here. But as you go around the world showing this film, I'm wondering how audiences react when they see this film.
Well, so I mean, it's early days, but they really get it. You know, they come up to me and they say, "There's so much compassion in this film. That man's amazing." And what I least expected to find was a very archetypal hero story from Juarez. It's not what you normally get.
Right.
I think in that sense, the film has really worked because it's not hard to work out. You don't have to explain anything.
Right.
But we did work very, very hard in the edit to get to that point. Of course, you forget in hindsight and it kind of all makes sense. But in reality, we had 120 patients all in their own orbits around their own planets, which I find fascinating as a filmmaker. But when you have to sit down with an editor, you're really pulling your hair out trying to make sense of it. And then what came out of the making of the film was this main character, Josue, who's no less than a poet. Yeah, his language and his delivery is completely poetic. And so we were very lucky to have him.
He's an extraordinary character, and one that, did you know when you went to make the film that you were going to be making about him, or did it just emerge in the telling that you came across this character and he would be the sort of structure that you told the tale around?
Well, on the first shoot, I shot 30 hours, but basically observational material of these people going through their daily business. And the place is sort of run in such a way that they maintain it. They run it, so they do the washing. They take the blankets out of the rooms every morning. They bath themselves. And, whoever helps. So I started off thinking maybe it's just going to be quite a sort of anthropological piece of a day in the life of a mental asylum run by its own patients.
It's an incredible tale of a community
that
has to survive on its own.
And that was enough for me. But then I started coming against obstacles with a lot of people, friends I showed, and they said, this is too much to watch. It's one of those cases where the experience is actually very different to the viewing. And I'm not in the business of shocking people. And I also felt like I had an unwritten contract where I owed something to these people. I'm that kind of filmmaker where I think if people give you the time and allow you to film them, then ultimately you have to come back and show it to them. And you have to show them in a light which, not about truth, but it's something essential about them, especially in this case, that allows them some dignity.
It's a very sensitive film, I think. People might hear mental illness and asylums and desert outside of Juarez and think, that's just too despairing for me. But it's amazingly uplifting to watch the human spirit work through this community and the pastor who created this refuge for the mentally ill and Josue, who we learn where the title comes from. He arrived basically catatonic, I guess, and physically and emotionally dead, and his journey to reclaim that life over the period of the film, and how he retells it, and how he is now giving back and nurturing all of these people with severe mental illness. It's just a powerful, I think, uplifting film in a way, despite its environs that are described so beautifully by you.
Yeah, I mean, I got to say, I don't want to be negative, but I think it's quite a hard sell even now. And I've been experiencing that over the last 6 months with film festivals. And I said I didn't want to talk about film festivals, but the last 6 months I've been sending them out. And
you find there's reluctance.
Yeah, and of course it's very opaque. You don't find out why, so it's a guessing game. And I think there's a fear. I mean, they're very market driven, and I think there's a fear that people will be put off by this. And yet, when people see it, and I'm not talking about friends who are just going to be nice to me. You don't need that as a filmmaker. You need criticism, and yeah, I mean the story is incredible, and it's also unexpected, and it's a very unusual context to see a film in. There's hardly any films where people have been given complete access to a mental asylum run by their own patients. I mean, there is the famous or infamous, perhaps, Titicup Follies, the Fred Wiseman film, and of course that got him into a lot of trouble, and it took years, I think 10 years before they even had private screenings. But it did show the sadism and the cruelty of the place. And this is the opposite. And I actually showed that film to Pastor Galvan, who founded the asylum in Juarez. And he said, well, there's no love in that film.
Yeah.
And that it really comes down to that, you know.
It's amazing watching it too, because doing this show and being on the border, I've seen my share of documentaries about Juarez and narrative films about Juarez over the last decade, all dealing with the violence and the drug wars. And that's not overtly a storyline in your film, but it's hard to watch the film and not see it haunting much of the context of the film. That people in the film are not just mentally ill, some are mentally traumatized by things. Josue himself recalls a life, you know, living in homelessness and drug addiction and violence and thievery, and you have these haunting images of whole neighborhoods in Juarez proper that are just abandoned. There's, you know, an empty landscape, which sets the context for this little community. What I found refreshing is it's not about the violence in Juarez per se, but it's about this community trying to survive in the context of that violence.
Well, as Chuck said, they've created their own promised land.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course, there's religious overtones to that, but it is a promised land compared to what they've come from. And mm-hmm. I think what they all have in common is that they're all either in trauma or recovering from trauma. And yet all their stories are different. And once you get into their stories, a lot of them are beyond your imagination. You cannot imagine that people mm-hmm. have gone through these experiences. There's a darkness to the place. And that pervades everything, but there's just this basic fact that you keep returning to, that they would rather be there, however clumsy and dirty and grimy the place is, than this place they've come from. We really grappled with Juarez and trying to connect the context from which they had come.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those abandoned houses, it symbolized the emptiness of this place, mm-hmm. of Murder City. And also Josue's sort of homecoming, if you like. I mean, we took him back to the last house he lived in, and which is a classic documentary technique. You take your subject back to somewhere to jolt their memory, and they often start reliving those moments. And, of course, we took him back to this house, and it had been demolished. So his past life was just rubble.
Mm-hmm.
And he's walking around the rubble, and he starts picking up used syringes. So there's still traces of his past life, because he was a heroin addict for 30 years. And then this didn't make the cut, but there's a guy just starts walking down the road and he says hello. Turns out Josue knew him from back in the day when he lived in this house full of murderers and thieves.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy was called Angel, and also a former drug addict or recovering. And they just sort of chewed the fat. But when those guys chew the fat, the stuff they talk about...
Yeah.
It's just mayhem. You know, mm-hmm. we might talk about the good old days when we were at school or something. These guys just talk about slaughter, you know. And there's a real sadness to that. And when he goes and sees his old friends, it's just a litany of death, really. You know, these guys are all dead. And if they're not dead, they're barely alive because they're still living that life.
Yeah, there's certainly a sense of existential deadness that he's trying to claw his way back from.
Yeah.
And reclaim his own spirit, and by which he's in service now to humanity, and really powerful. And I guess that's one of the things documentaries can really do well, is put us into an environment that we would never find ourselves in, and broaden our worldview. And mm-hmm. the film does that so beautifully. I also want to mention you also shot this film.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I presume all the footage or most of the footage yourself.
Being greedy.
Not greedy at all. It's what's astounding about the photography, I thought, is just how subtly, starkly beautiful it is. It has this wonderful contrast, I think, of the nature and colorful built environment of Juarez that these humans are struggling within, dirty, filthy at times, the dust storms that you capture so well. But it's such a quiet film, and there's this lightness of touch, I thought, to the imagery that is a really powerful compliment to the Josue character and his spirit. It seems very balanced, the visual palette that you use. And I wonder, when you start a film like this, do you have a particular style, or did you find that in the place and the context, and you think, you know, this is how I want to shoot this film, and this is what I want it to look like, because I want it to complement this character, I want it to contrast with the grittiness of the story I'm telling.
I think I approach every film as with an open mind as possible, and I try and let the work tell me what it needs. Like my last film, every shot was locked off on a tripod, and I came to it as a photographer. On this occasion, first thing that struck me when I walked out into the patio in the asylum on the first day I was there, and I was pretty scared. I was very scared, and that kind of motivated me to push forward. But I saw this 120 people as one giant organism who all seemed to be connected. I mean, one amazing thing about filming mentally ill people is that because they're so often distracted by their own trauma, their reverie, their distractions, they respond to a camera in a very different way. And they're very uninhibited. Their emotions are raw. So I started... this dynamic between myself and them started developing where I just felt like I was going to move with them. And I can remember one day, there was a great moment where in this patio there's a lot of people pacing around incessantly. And I just started tracking people. And I'd track one person, and then as they would leave the frame, another person would appear, and then I'd follow them. And I'd find myself following these patterns within the space. And actually, a favorite, if you indulge me, a favorite moment was one morning I thought, I'm going to start the day differently. So I got up at dawn and I walked out into the desert. And I wanted to catch some of those little pink ribbons that had been painted on lampposts along the highway. And there were dogs at the asylum. And at that point, there were only four. But the dogs followed me. And they just wouldn't get out of shot. And I was trying to contextualize the place, this kind of citadel in the desert. So I wanted to return back to the asylum and somehow frame it in this empty space. But these dogs just wouldn't get out of the way. And I thought, well, okay, if you can't beat them, join them. And then I followed the dogs with the camera back to the place. And then it's made me think, well, there's all these stray, wild, disowned dogs of Juarez. So maybe they've left the city like the patients, and they've come to the only life in the desert. So I followed them, and that's how we find the place at the beginning of the film. So again, the environment, the dogs, the people, they tell you how to work.
It's a stunning film, and I'm so appreciative that you've made the effort to come down to the studio today, and thanks for coming in from all the way from London to talk with us and to screen the film here locally. I'm discussing the new documentary Dead When I Got Here with director Mark Aitken. Aitken's film chronicles the struggle of one man to overcome debilitating physical and mental illness and slowly rebuild his life while serving some of Juarez's most needy, the residents of a mental asylum on the outskirts of the city. Dead When I Got Here will be screened in El Paso in August as part of this year's Plaza Classic Film Festival. For more information and to see the trailer and to subscribe for updates on the film and its release on home video, you can go to deadwhenigothere.org. On Film's producer is Norma Martinez. I'm Charles Horek. Thank you for listening to On Film.